Yesterday, Iran agreed to an outline of a plan that would prevent it from developing nuclear weapons for at least 10 years. In exchange, the U.S. and five other world powers agreed to lift economic sanctions. And the framework calls for Iran to reduce the number of centrifuges it operates from 19,000 to about 6,000. It would be required to reduce its stockpile of enriched uranium from 10,000 kilograms to 300 kilograms. That's like a 97% reduction. So what calculus was used to come up with these numbers? What kinds of advanced technologies will ensure that Iran lives up to the agreements? These are kind of good questions for a nuclear physicist like my next guest, who's been sitting at the negotiating table. Ernest Moniz is Energy Secretary of the U.S. He's also served under the Clinton administration in the White House and the Department of Energy. He's a former professor of physics at MIT. Welcome back to Science Friday, Dr. Moniz.
Thank you, Ira. It's good to be back.
You say in your statement that you released that I'm pleased to say that we are very confident in the technical underpinnings of this arrangement. What do you mean by that?
Well, what I mean is, first of all, one of our guidelines, which I believe we have certainly observed, is that the so-called breakout time for Iran, if they chose to develop the material for a nuclear bomb, will go up immediately from 2 or 2 to 3 months up to at least a year for at least 10 years. That is, we get there by doing some of the things you said, lowering the number of centrifuges, lowering their stockpile of uranium, but also by having very, very strong access and transparency measures so that we will feel extremely confident that if there is any violation of the agreement, we'll know it fast.
How will you know? Do you have new high-tech eavesdropping, or what kind of devices can you ensure? What's new in technology? How would you know if someone is cheating or not?
Well, first of all, the main thing is old-fashioned boots on the ground. So the IAEA, the International Atomic Energy Agency, will have essentially unfettered access. But in addition, they will be allowed to deploy their most modern technologies in terms of cameras, sensors, communication devices to have real-time observation.
So you'll have open access to all the nuclear facilities in Iran?
That's correct.
And let's talk about, get into the weeds a little bit, but how do you decide? I mentioned before that you talked about lowering the number of centrifuges down from like 20,000 to 6,000. How do you come up with a number that's not 595 or 7,500? What is the calculus that goes into that?
Yeah, mainly our DOE National Laboratory experts do models of how these uranium cascades work, and the input is the number of cascades, number of centrifuges, and their capability, the arrangement of the centrifuges, the amount of uranium they have, and the enrichment that they start with. All of those go into a calculation, and this set of numbers, 300 kilograms, 3.7%, 5,000 centrifuges actually operating, and that comes out to this 1 year breakout period.
Mm-hmm. And you also, the framework says that Iran will be required to reduce its stockpile of enriched uranium from 10,000 kilograms to 300 kilograms. How do you pull those numbers out as what you aim for?
Well, that 300 kilograms, as I said, plus the enrichment of those kilograms, 3.67% to be exact, and the 5,060 operating centrifuges and an additional 1,000 or so that are standing around, those numbers all combined through our computer modeling into this one year requirement to reach enough high enriched uranium for a first weapon. Should they go that way?
Should they go that way?
Right.
How are they going to get rid of that stockpile? Where does it go?
Well, there are fundamentally three options that they will need to pursue. One, which they've recently expressed less interest in, is to send it out of the country. For example, it could go to those who are fabricating their fuel for power reactors, like Russia in this case. It could be blended with low-enriched uranium, a very low-enriched uranium, that is, below natural uranium, in order to reach natural uranium, a dilution approach. And the third approach would be to market it on the international market for low-enriched uranium.
Mm-hmm. Do you have a personal relationship with your science counterpart on the Iranian negotiating team? Isn't that right? You and your counterpart, Ali Salehi, both graduated at the same time out of MIT?
Well, no, I was actually a young faculty member at MIT when he was a graduate student, although, to be honest, we never met at that time. We have met subsequently in Vienna at International Atomic Energy Agency meetings, but really, in terms of a serious professional relationship, it all developed over these last 5 weeks where we've probably spent 30 or 40 hours in one-on-one meetings. Hmm. So we've gotten to know each other quite well.
I'll bet. How would you judge the science level of Iran? And well, you've gotten to know the nuclear power people. How would you judge their science and their scientific level?
Well, certainly, Mr. Salehi, for one, is obviously quite accomplished nuclear engineer, and I might say also in terms of the nature of our discussions, extremely professional and courteous and problem solving oriented. Iran generally has a lot of young people who are going out of the country, studying elsewhere in advanced information and science and technology arenas. So they do have a well trained cadre of young scientists and engineers. One of the parts of this agreement, by the way, would be to advance international collaboration on physics projects, for example, in what is currently their underground enrichment facility. That will be converted into a research facility involving international collaboration.
I'm Ira Flatow. This is Science Friday from PRI Public Radio International, talking with Eric Moniz, Energy Secretary of the United States. Do you see a collaboration, you know, a deeper collaboration between U.S. and Iranian scientists here that might open up greater dialogue with that country?
Well, you know, historically, as you know, in many cases, including with Russia during the Cold War, science-to-science collaboration in non-sensitive areas has been very, very important. It proved its worth later on in terms of our working together. I say here, I think it will be slow going. Clearly, there are lots of issues between the United States and Iran that go back 35 years, and will take a while to work out. But I think international collaboration going forward is in any event a good thing. And I hope, of course, that we will be able to reestablish relations in a way that our own collaborations are possible.
But do you see pushback from conservatives in Iran against this framework, as much as you're seeing pushback from conservatives in this country?
I think today there's no question about that. Again, part of this this is strictly a nuclear deal. It's aimed at the issue of assurances that Iran will not be pursuing a nuclear weapon, as they have claimed. And the idea here is it's going to take time. We will, if everything goes according to plan and according to their commitment against developing anything other than peaceful uses of nuclear energy, well, then confidence will build up over years. We've seen that actually in the last year and a half. The preliminary arrangement that we've had to give us time to negotiate has, in fact, been followed. Everyone agrees. Iran has followed those requirements to the letter, and that has helped build confidence in turn in this agreement. Mm. We still have a ways to go.
But you, as a scientific advisor on this and someone who sat in on the negotiations, and your team of scientists feel confident that you have the scientific prowess, the technical prowess to make this agreement stick if it goes ahead?
Yes, we feel that if all of the elements go forward, and of course they are agreed to in principle, they have to be worked out in terms of the detailed specifics for the full agreement. But with all of these implemented, we feel pretty confident that we can have this breakout time.
And inspectors will be able to go to all the facilities, even the ones that were off limits before. And
all the nuclear facilities, but also as Iran implements what's called the additional protocol, and they will implement it immediately, even though it may take them a little bit longer to formally ratify it. With those, there will be access not only to declared, but also in case there's information that raises issues, to undeclared facilities as well.
Do you think you'll be able to, you as a technologist, will be able to help bring the Israelis over to your side of the table?
Well, all I can say is we will present the technical underpinnings clearly. We think they are extremely solid. There are other issues that of course, are part of this agreement. And I should say, of course, Secretary Kerry, Department of State, of course, is the leader of our delegation, and he's been working at this for quite a while, actually, even when he was in the Senate. I've been engaged directly for the last 5 weeks. But I think there's no question that we can make a very, very solid case. Now, some cling to the idea that, there should not be any enrichment whatsoever. Well, that's a policy choice that was made some time ago. I personally believe that it would be unrealistic to imagine an agreement with Iran, and I believe we are far better off, as the president has said, with an agreement than without one. That's true for us. We believe it is true for our allies and friends as well.
Dr. Moniz, thank you very much for taking time to be with us today. Good luck to you.
Thank you, Ira.
Ernest Moniz, Secretary, Energy Secretary of the U.S., talking about the interim plan that the United States and Iran have in the nuclear power industry.